Okay.
I don't think it should be first.
Oh. Sorry, hold on.
Wow, Andy, do you need me to take over the reins? Hi, everyone.
Yes, it was such an emotional prep for the show that I got all. What is it again? That
flustered.
Combubulated.
Is that what you, Andy likes to make up words too. It's very cute.
Good morning, my friends. This is Andy and Hedy coming to you live from Orange County, California. I'm sorry about all the mix-ups there. We were chatting and crying. And we startled ourselves by going full screen when we saw ourselves. A lot was happening prior to coming on. Hope you guys are having a great morning. It's beautiful here today. Have you been outside yet?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
I feel a little warm. Is it warm outside?
No. It may be now, but it was a little bit cooler. We're in Southern California. We have great weather, of course. And I have some space between dropping off the two boys and then Zara and Kelly. And so Ray and I went for a little walk.
How sweet.
Around Tri-City Park. So it was really nice. Good weather. We're reading from Smith Wigglesworth Devotional. And so we're going to be going right to that very quickly here. And we'll also be talking a little bit, I'm sure, about last night's message with Pastor Jack Hibbs over Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. It was a little bit different than our normal.
Yes.
Any service that we've ever had.
I love how it surprises us, right?
Yeah. And then we may be getting into some news, and we'll get into that from the Christian Post. It would be pretty cool. All right. So we're reading from, again, Smith Wigglesworth Devotional for October 7th. The title is, What Does It Mean to Believe? The reference is Acts 19:15. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know, but who are you? The scripture reading is Acts 19:11-20. What is belief? Says Smith in this devotional. What is belief? Let me sum it up in a few sentences. To believe is to have the knowledge of him in whom you believe. It is not to believe in the word Jesus, but to believe in the nature of Christ, to believe in the vision of Christ. For all power has been given unto him, and greater is he who is within you in the revelation of faith than he who is in the world. And so I say to you, do not be discouraged if every demon has not gone out. The very moment they have gone, do not think that that is the end. What we have to see is that if all it takes is using the name of Jesus, those evil powers would have gone out in the name by the sons of Sceva. It is not that. It is the power of the Holy Spirit with the revelation of the deity of our Christ of glory. It is knowing that all power is given unto him. Through the knowledge of Christ and through faith in who he is, demons must surrender. Demons must go out. I say this reverently. These bodies of ours are so constructed by God that we may be filled with the divine revelation of the Son of God until it is manifest to the devils we confront. And they will have to go.
Yes.
The master is in. They see the master. Jesus I know and Paul I know. The ministry of the master. How we need to get to know him until within us we are full of the manifestation of the king over all demons. Brothers and sisters, my heart is full. The depths of my yearnings are for the Pentecostal people. My cry is that we will not miss the opportunity of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that Christ may be manifested in our human frames until every power of evil will be subject to the Christ who is manifested in us, the devils know Jesus.
Two important things are before us. First, we must surrender to the mastery of ourselves to God. Then the embodiment of the Spirit gloriously covers our lives so that Jesus is glorified to the full. So first, it is the losing of ourselves, and then it is the incoming of another. It is the glorifying of Him that will fulfill all things, and then when He gets a hold of our lives, He can do it. When God gets hold of your life because you have yielded yourself to Him in this way, He will be delighted to allow Christ to be manifested in you, that it will be no difficulty for the devil to know who you are. Oh, I love the way that's expressed. I'm satisfied that the purpose of Pentecost is to reestablish God in human flesh. Do I need to say that again? The power of the Holy Spirit to come to be enthroned in the human life so that it does not matter where we find ourselves. Christ is manifested in the place where devils are, the place where religious devils are, the place where false religion and unbelief are, and the place where former religion has taken the place of holiness and righteousness. You need to have holiness, the righteousness and the Spirit of the Master, so that in every walk of life, wherever you find yourself, everything else that is not like our Lord Jesus will have to depart. That is what we need today. I ask you in the Holy Spirit to seek the place where He is in power. Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? May God stamp this sobering question upon us, for the devil is not afraid of us. May the Holy Spirit make us terrors of evildoers today. For the Holy Spirit came into us to judge the world of sin, of unbelief, and of righteousness. That is the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus will know us, and the devils will know us. It is only when you are conquered by Christ that He is enthroned.
That is something.
That is something,
what
folks.
What a gift.
What a gift if you can really use it, right? I mean, yes. Not use it as in like abuse it, but make it manifest in a way that glorifies God. Most of the time we're just so shallow, right?
What? What? Speak for yourself.
Yeah, because you're so deep all the time, right?
Oh my gosh, there is a part here. So that we may be filled with the divine revelation of the Son of Christ. There was actually another part where maybe even you said it, where yourself is removed and Christ is put in.
Yes, it's this one. It's just the way these bodies of ours are so constructed by God that we will be filled with the divine revelation of the Son until it is manifest to the devils we confront, and they have to go.
I don't know why, but this is just an image I was given when you were saying that. I was thinking about this. You know, you have a nice, clean, clear glass or cup.
Yes.
Right? It's all shiny and clear. And you pour Coke in, and it's all dark and nasty. And you think of all the, and I always tell you this all the time, all the cancer-causing agents that are in that soda. Maybe I shouldn't use Coke. Yes. I mean, you put a dirty copper penny in there, and it takes off. Yeah, I mean, that's how nasty it is, right? How can you imagine what that's doing to your body, right? Yes. So you pour out the Coke, and you pour in nice, clean, clear water, which your body is made of. Most of our body is made of water, and how that fills you with the goodness of good water, of
hallelujah,
of water.
Holy water.
Holy water.
Living water.
Living water. Exactly.
Amen.
I mean, that's what I don't know why, but I think I get rid of that and you pour in this. Oh, man, that's so much better.
And if you don't wash the cup, what happens? It's a little sea remnants of it.
Yes. Look at you.
See that?
Oh, my gosh. Just building on my
on wonderful my analogy.
Yes. But that's what I was seeing. I don't know why. I always need to have some type of a vision or, you know, something, some picture in my head, a little movie in my head. I get a lot of those. Have you noticed?
Those are, to me, divine inspirations a lot of the times. The ability to visualize things that you're reading about when it relates to scripture and studying God's word, to me, are, I think, part of how the Lord speaks to us.
What are some of the things that really stand out to you that I know that you had a couple of comments earlier, and then when you read it the second time, you just, you kind of went, wow, I really love hearing that.
Well, it's, first of all, the extent that he requires us to yield our life so that Christ is manifest and to establish God in human flesh, mm-hmm. that do you want me to tell everybody what I told you?
Sure.
Okay.
If you want to.
So I was trying to explain to Andy, like, to convey the emotions that I felt this with, like the strength in which I felt this. And I was telling him, I said, it reminds me of when, so for those of you who don't know, Andy's was a dog trainer for 30 years, police canines, trained him all over the world. And I, when he walks into a room, dogs sit at attention. So they, most of the time I see that either they're really happy to see him or they're afraid to see him. And they're just kind of like, uh-oh, here he comes. And I'm like, wait, you've never met this dog before. Like, why is this dog having this reaction to you? It's actually quite an interesting phenomena. But after reading this today, I told Andy, oh my God, this is like what happens when dogs see you. What Smith is trying to convey to us is if you really manifest the Holy Spirit in you, demons have to flee. Because it is you, you're manifesting God incarnate. You need to, so that you need to have holiness, the righteousness and the spirit of the master, so that everywhere you go in life, everything that is not like Jesus has to depart. Devils have to flee. Wow. Because once they're confronted with that light, everything else must go. And it reminds me of how dogs sit at attention. They don't have never met you. They don't know what you're going to do or why you're there. You're there to even just visit their boss.
Yeah.
But they're just like, they're just terrified at what it may mean for them. And so that's what I'm struck by.
Well, interestingly, now that you mentioned that, it seems like it happens more often when I'm called there to help them with their dog. So there's almost like this attention put on the dog. And the dog immediately knows, as opposed to me visiting a friend's house.
Yeah, but that happens with those dogs too. Yeah.
I've seen some type of reaction.
They're
either very attracted to me.
Yes.
To being obnoxious, or the bad dogs tend to go, okay, I know I'm a bad dog. I'm not going to be bad.
And they
just go.
As Andy referred to them, he used to refer to them as devil dogs.
Yes.
And in no other circumstance, unless you understand the sensitivities of the spirit, this phenomena does not make sense, because what I'm explaining to you is something that happens when the dog has never physically met Andy. And it's not like he says there, and it's not like he's like, come here, puppy, when he walks in the house, where the dog's like, oh, this guy knows dogs. It's literally the first interaction that you have with this animal. It senses your command of the animal.
What's unfortunate about that on some level, now that I'm thinking about it, now that you brought it to my attention, is that that was the difficulty of training people to be dog trainers. Some people have it and some people don't. It's something that has to be developed over time if you don't have it. And then some people never get it. So how interesting is that, right?
Same as this.
You have to want it. You have to believe, and you have to understand, and you have to be in the word, and
exactly.
There's a lot that goes along with it. It's just not always just I wanted to cast out demons, devils, go. Right. It's like when I wanted to be Christian, but I really wasn't committed to being a Christian.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
Well, and that's what Smith is teaching in the past 3 days about casting out demons.
Wow.
Don't go through these histrionics of screaming and yelling and these like dramatic displays of religiosity. You need to have the Holy Spirit so strongly and powerfully manifested in your life at all times that you walk in the room and you're like, get out. And the devil has to go, because you've arrived with the Spirit of Christ in you.
Oh my gosh. Another one. One of the things that I used to frustrate, people used to yell at their dogs.
Yeah.
This is so good. What an analogy.
I came up with a dog analogy.
You are amazing. Because that's the frustrating, but they would just, all they do is yell. Yelling at a dog when it's misbehaving causes the behavior to become heightened in most cases. It increases the bad behavior.
Like it does in kids.
Yes. And then the best thing you can do is lower your tone. Use command presence.
Command presence.
And you want to make sure the dog understands to respect you, not because you are crazy yelling, screaming. It's hard to respect somebody like that. Right. Again, you could say that about people too. Like when you are a maniac,
Exactly. Your kids just think you're unhinged.
Yeah.
They're not afraid of you. Yeah. They just think you're unhinged.
Yeah,
and they may be afraid because you're unhinged, but it's the case not respect.
And in the case of the devil's laughing at you. Oh, I got him.
Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you?
Who are you?
The seven sons of Sceva.
Acting like a fool.
Acting a fool.
Such good stuff. Wow. Hey, there's a part in here that where it says, make us terrors of evildoers. I thought W made up evildoers.
No.
He called the, remember after
well,
the terrorist.
He's a scripture reader, remember?
Yeah, when he said evildoers, I go, who uses evildoers? And there it is.
See, apparently, now you know where he got it.
That's old time.
It's an old school word. Evildoers, them evildoers.
I'm such an infant. I thought he made it up.
You're like, what kind of word is that, Mr. President?
Evildoers. Did you ever hear him do that? You were pretty close to W. Did you call him W? Did you say, sup, W? You didn't do that?
No.
Mr. President.
I stuck with Mr. President.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Very good. All right, let's get into some of the scripture here. We got Acts 19:11. So or 19:11-20.
Well, we've read this a couple times, folks. So if you've been with us every day, you will have heard it again. But it's such powerful scripture as it connects with the importance of the power of Christ in casting out demons. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hand of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from the body to the sick, and the diseases left them and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call upon the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were the seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so as well. And the evil spirit answered once and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped onto them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. This became known both to all the Jews and the Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also, many of them who had practiced magic brought their books and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. I want to comment on this one verse. And many who believed came confessing and telling their deeds. That's another manifestation of the power of the Spirit, is that it convicts people of their sin. That we want to manifest the power of the Spirit for others around us, so that they're drawn towards repentance, especially if they're not believers. They're drawn toward repentance, confess their sins, and are able to receive the Lord. And so that verse in particular reminds us of that. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. That's our preachers love to remind us of that.
Overcome them. Who's them?
Overcome them, the evil ones. 2 Corinthians 4:10, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. John 16:7-11. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. Remember, we talked about that. And of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is so judged.
The ruler of this world being?
Satan.
Satan. Whew. What good stuff. Smith knew he was talking about.
Yes.
On this date, 2021.
Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? And that's, I think, one of the evidence of why the Bible is timeless, is because it's relevant. I don't know. So maybe it's just the way God so orchestrates the world that the... there's nothing new under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
everything just ends up repeating itself. There's even no new sin under the sun. Everything's just repeating itself.
Right. Well, that's for sure. I mean, you listen to what he, you know, throughout the Bible talks about in regards to sin and debauchery and, you know, drinking and gambling and, you know,
it's like the people chasing
women.
Sodomy, homosexuality.
It's never stopped.
Nope.
We didn't
invent it.
No. So this takes me to last night's message with Pastor Jack Kibbs over at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. First of all, historically, I guess that's a great way to say it. Historically, on Wednesday nights, we've been able to drive. On Sundays, we leave like an hour early, sometimes we earlier.
An hour and a half early. We're in line an hour early.
Half early to get into line an hour early to get in.
Yes.
Wednesdays, we tarry along and we get there maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes before service, and we can still get in the front row.
Yes.
I don't know what happened, but last night it was as bad as a Sunday.
I asked the ushers if they were giving out free pizza because it was
going on
rocking. The place was packed.
And the reason I bring that up is not to brag about our church. It is to say that something is happening. Something is going on.
So extraordinary.
Extraordinary. It can't be just the man. Right? It can't be just the man.
It's the message. It's the
spirit. It's how God is using him.
Yes.
There was something about I think what's been happening in the news, parents are being attacked. The lies are being brought to the surface of the last 5 years. There's somebody coming out, or there's some new thing coming out saying, well, we told you that was untrue. We told you it was Russians, but now they're finding out that it was all made up. So there's so many of these things happening that I think people are finally saying there's no other place that we need to be in the hands of God. Because we can't trust man. Man is deceiving us. Man is so bad and corrupt. And that includes us.
Yes.
So we need to go find somebody who's going to speak to us the truth. And then, so I'm sorry, I need to start with that to kind of lay the foundation.
Yes.
Because then we get inside and we expect worship and then a message.
Yes.
And then in this case, we were going to have communion.
Yes.
Right? Because we knew that ahead of time. Usually it's the first Wednesday of the month, right? Or is it the second Wednesday of the month? Whatever it is. It's always one of those. And instead, while I was still parking the car, Jack was already out on stage getting things prepared so that he could have.
Oh, like, you didn't hear why he did that.
No, I was out parking the car.
He did that because he didn't want worship and the service to be interrupted by messages.
Oh.
By announcements.
So good.
Yeah. He was like, I want to get him out of the way. Me and Gia both decided we don't want to disrupt the flow with that.
It was awesome. And then by the time I got in there, the music started and the worship, number one, was just spectacular. Yes. It got us all in the right place because then when Jack came out, it was an hour, do you think, or pretty close now, 45 minutes, 45 minutes of prayer.
Yes.
And so now coming to the devotional, why I'm kind of related to the devotional is that when you talk about that, once you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you are a true believer, you're truly born again, you're truly washed white as snow, that there's something different about you, that people feel it, that the devil knows that Jesus is inside you. The devil knows and becomes repelled and avoids you and goes to the next person. It's just, yeah. I'm not going to deal with Jesus. I'm going to go deal with the person that doesn't have Jesus.
The guy without the security alarm.
Yes. And so, but that's the same
doors.
Thing. When you talk about the church, the bride of Jesus, there was something different in the building last night.
Yes.
And it made me have visions and thoughts like just like out of this world stuff.
And that's so important to call people's attention to when it comes to why do we need to go to church in person? It is so important to realize that there's something spectacular that can happen when you're in a room with a body of believers, right? And that's exactly what you're describing.
And my eyes were closed and what was going on and the feeling that I had. And I'm a skeptic on everything. I mean, I got to look up everything. Like, are you sure? And then I look it up to make sure that it's the truth or what the truth is, or, you know, what's the background behind something. And so I'm not easily moved into the supernatural.
Yes.
And I closed my eyes, and I was afraid to open my eyes, not because I was scared, but I wanted to continue the vision that I yes. had, that things were happening. People were floating levitating. In the air, levitating. And I know that sounds strange, and it may sound bad to some people, but there was this vision of Jack kind of just because he was so powerful, almost the power was lifting him up off the stage a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's when he was talking, that's what I saw in my head. And I didn't want to ruin the vision that I had, not to put him on the pedestal of a God or anything like that.
This, no,
Jesus, the Holy Spirit was moving him.
Yeah. The way the Spirit was moving.
How did you feel about what was going on? I mean, there were a lot of tears. We were all, the lady next to me was sobbing, and everybody was a bit emotional, but it was moving.
That's what a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit is supposed to be like. And that's what I meant by why we cannot forsake the assembly of the saints. Because when you have that many believers and devout, like righteous people who are seeking holiness and righteousness collected in a room together with a leader or a pastor who also is pursuing that holiness and righteousness. Mm-hmm. All of us are sinners and fall short of the glory of God, but all of us are trying. Right. Get them in one place, crying out to the Lord. There's no end to the miraculous that could happen in that room. And I think that's why he encouraged us to pray for healing, to pray, to intercede for our schools, and to add that to our prayer list every day. But there's something that happens when we're all in there together like that. And so I really want to encourage you today, if you're not back at church yet, or if you don't think that it's as important as part of your devotions, that I really encourage you to go back to church and stick with the Assembly of the Saints.
Yeah. Danielle, one of our regular viewers, has a very important comment. She was watching online, and she said, that's exactly what I was thinking. I did feel some of the power online too.
Oh, wow.
I'm sure in person was so much better. I don't even know about that. Better. It was just, you could feel it. If I was watching on, if we would have been watching online like we do sometimes on Wednesdays,
yes.
I'm sure we would have felt the same way. I don't even know. It was something that I've never experienced before in my life. You know, I've been to Harvest Crusades, and I think those are wonderful. I've been to a few different churches and have never felt something like that. What I want to forget before I get to Daniel's next message there is that about what Jack was doing. You know, sometimes the pastor feels, and I get this feeling sometimes that they feel that they are the message giver, which they are in many cases, and that's it. What I got from last night is that Jack was sharing with us that it's not just him. And he said, I want you all as a collective inside God's church to also give your message to God.
Well, petition the throne.
Yes.
Yes.
And to speak out loud.
Yes.
And we had all voices, whispering voices, loud voices,
crying voices.
I thought that was a really powerful thing for me. Absolutely. And again, I don't know if anybody else has to have this thought. As I said, look at it. I love how Jack is so,
the humility of that.
The humility of going, listen, this is all of us.
Right.
Because I'm no one. I'm just another one of you. I just happen to be standing on stage and handed it over for everybody else to speak to God in his church. I thought that was a very powerful,
awesome
thing, how God gave him that message. And again, this was unscripted. This wasn't a planned thing, because he gave his plan and he never went to that plan.
Nope.
So that's why I believe him when he says that this is totally unscripted, because I'm going to do this and then we're going to do this and we're gonna do this. The second and third thing never happened.
Right.
And so it was just coming to him, and God was giving him the words to share, and such powerful words. And then Daniel says, this is also why they, being some of the demonic people in our government, want to keep us from assembling. And that is so true, because there's so much power in that. They cannot take people like that are in that room in particular, and Daniel watching and other people that are watching, that they will not, we will not let them take away our faith in God. God is our king. God is our ruler. God is our president. God is our congressman. God is our mayor and governor.
Yes.
The other people, we are just people that we've elected and hope that they would do the right job, and they're letting us down. And they don't want us to assemble because they don't like that they're not our God. Yeah, they right. don't like that.
Exactly.
Anything else about last night that you think was a lesson to other churches?
Allowing things to be unscripted. Mm. I think we've had this happen a couple times now where Pastor Jack says, listen, I was supposed to do this, that, and the other, and I just can't. My heart is heavy. I want us to pray about schools, about people losing their jobs. And I thought about what it was like for him to receive continual messages at the church office through emails, through texts. I'm losing my job. I'm losing my job. I'm losing my job. I don't know how to pay the bills. And how heavy that must be. That really struck me too. And for those of you that are not in that position, like Andy and I, how blessed we are
right.
not to be forced to confront that decision. And as I told Andy, the Lord brought to my heart this scripture about how the believers can handle serpents and drink poison and it will not harm them. And he got me to recite that over the people that are being forced to take the jab and that God willing, he will protect their bodies. He will coat their stomachs and he will send the angelic forces to protect them because they are his children.
It's so interesting that that came up in our devotional yesterday.
Isn't it?
This, yeah. And then gave it to you again.
Yep.
Reminded you what it was. Because sometimes it happens to me too, where we've read something or I've heard Jack say something and I've kind of forgotten about it until I need it. Remember that happened the other day?
Well,
I forgot something that Jack had said, but the next day something came up.
That's what the Lord says in scripture. Yeah. Do not be afraid of what you will say because I will give you the words.
I love God's file cabinet. It works a lot better than my file cabinet.
Doesn't it?
Yes, because it kind of makes me find the file. Here, you need this. And it gives me the words. When I need something for the fleshly, I can't find it. It's in the round file.
Right. Thank God. Some of those memories are not worth keeping.
I have to dump the round file is what I got to do.
Some of those memories are not worth keeping.
So such a power. If you didn't have a chance to see it, I think it would, it may lose some of its power if you watch the replay, but I think that you should find a place, either early in the morning, a quiet place away from noise and put yourself in a place to receive what happened last night at Calvary Chapel, no matter where you are in the world watching this and watch. And although we're talking about local schools around here, when we're talking about praying for schools, you just pray for your school when he tells you to do that, the school district and the universities that are in trouble, even a college or university, Biola is a university or college?
Yes, university.
Okay. Biola, which is a Christian college or university that is beyond woke.
Yes.
It is crazy. How can you run a Christian university or college and then do it? We know people who have kids in Biola and all their children have turned on them. But the ones I know. I'm not sure that all children that go there, but
this takes us back to the statistics as why only 6% of Christians actually believe the Holy Spirit's real. Mm. How does that happen?
Yeah.
It's our educational system. Same thing that's affecting our kids in the secular world.
And they're hiring professors that are not Christians.
Yeah.
Hey, why would you do that?
Right. How could you teach a book about, yeah. How could you teach a subject you don't actually believe is true? It's crazy.
It is. One thing I want to encourage you to do as a viewer of ours, especially, go to the Christian Post and look at some of the news that's coming up there.
It's fascinating.
It really is a good source of news.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go back a page here. But so many things that are currently happening in our government and in our world between the Pennsylvania bill that aims to force men to get vasectomies by 40. Are we talking about the United States?
It's
anymore?
So crazy.
Is that wacky?
Force men to get a vasectomy?
Yes. Heard that yesterday. Federal judge blocks Texas abortion law, drawing praise from Biden administration. Remember the outrage?
Yes.
That it's crazy. New lawsuit challenges New York vaccine mandate, cites Governor Hochul's, I don't know her name, comments at a megachurch. Just so much going on. But the one I wanted to really, you know, to bring to your attention is the DOJ slammed for likening concerned parents to domestic terrorists. That for pretty much what we've been doing, and me speaking at the last school board meeting and wanting to hear the particular vote that somebody was going to have on a subject of a BLM person come and speak at a church assembly and paying them $60,000 to do so, and just simply wanted to know how the vote was going to go. They never did vote on it. They just took it as a no.
I must say, after reading this article, I literally, all I could think about was your school board meeting last month.
But I wanted to talk to you about this, and I wanted to bring it up in particular because calling parents terrorists, using the DOJ, the FBI, to investigate parents as terrorists, using the very tools you created. So you created these tools that they're going to use against me to put me in jail. You're going to say,
it's surreal.
What is happening right now?
I have to tell you how surreal it is, because because if you knew the painstaking agony we went through that this would be politically corrected. Okay, you can't say it about all Muslims. You can't say it about certain kind of Muslims. You can't use the word Islam. You can't use the word Muslims. Like, we were so incredibly sensitive to not looking discriminatory that I am just shocked and floored at the way they willy-nilly apply this to Americans, that we're not afraid of the repercussions of lambasting a whole segment of American society. Like, we were so worried about that. And I literally did this for 15 years of my life, like literally built the, like every single word of that article, I have in some way heard, used, shaped, reported on, got money to create, you know what I mean?
So use it in a presentation to
use it, used in a gazillion presentations. And I just, it's surreal to me that this could be applied to everyday Americans.
I mean, you were shocked or just like concerned when they talked about, like, essentially conservative Christians were going to be looked at as terrorists. And that was like, you got to be kidding me. But then that's at least 50%, probably more, maybe 60%. I think 60% of the United States, here was in my hands again, 60% of our country are now being looked at as terrorists. And we're going, wow, that's really scary. But now it's parents. So they've even narrowed down to parents.
Right.
How many parents do we have in the United States of America that are concerned about their children's education?
And you don't have to be conservative.
So no.
Look at how much broader it made the circle.
Yes.
So they're basically they just keep widening this circle to be anybody who doesn't agree with them.
This is
because concerned parents at that meeting are not just Christians. At the meetings that you go to were this eclectic group of conservatives, Christians, anti-vaxxers, you know, free spirits, libertarians, like people who just, and then crazy mama bears, mama and daddy bears that are just kind of like, you can't do this to my kid, you know, because the children that are having emotional problems from not connecting to their peers because of the masks or breathing issues or other kinds of difficulties are also in this fight. And to think this language that we created to catch people that were putting bombs in schools.
Yep.
And we're now saying, well, the guy who goes to a school board meeting, if he yells too loud, we should call in the FBI or we should use. Oh, my God. I just can't believe this is happening.
But they're going to use it not in a balanced way. Because they'll say, again, we just had a senator, a Democrat senator, lesbian, chased into the bathroom by a man and woman with their video on, demanding that she change her vote for the $5 trillion infrastructure bill and some of the other stuff that was going on. And that's a felony in Arizona where this took place. They're doing nothing about that. That's okay. But a parent being upset about a certain curriculum, about you know, the sex education, we went through ours and we're lucky enough that it's actually pretty decent. But this other school, they were bringing up stuff that they were actually reading it, and they said, stop reading it, it's too graphic. And she's going, I can't read it at a school board meeting, but you have this in our children's library. That person's looked at as a terrorist because she brought up the fact that this is in our school. But you have that one hand, you're going, well, that looks really bad. That's actually a crime. It's actually on the books as a crime, and you're doing nothing about that. But now you're going to look at this person as a terrorist.
It's crazy.
Danielle says, Hetty and I talked about the programming, how the programming could be turned against Americans 2 years ago, at least, and here it is.
Mic drop. It's true. I mean, I the writing was on the wall as I saw these. I know this.
Wow.
I know this law and these programs like the back of my hand. So it's very alarming.
So go to thechristianpost.com, christianpost.com. And then when you're done looking at today's news, type in Hedia's name and look at some of her past articles. I think you'll find them interesting. Some of the stuff is brought up about what we're seeing today, and then other issues that you've brought up that are really sound information for us to just listen. It's still relevant today. All your articles, I think, are still relevant today. They were at the time about what was going on, but it'll kind of lead you down a map as to how we got here. Many of your articles.
Thank you.
Very concerning about what's going on. And look at the message from Calvary Chapel, Chuen Hills from last night. I think the prayer that you can go through by following the prompts for each one, the people that are losing their job, that aren't taking the thing to the schools, to a number of issues that Jack brought up, I think are important for you to go through, the exercise of going through that.
And if you don't mind me doing a plug for my TV show.
Yes, of course.
Yes, we are Remnant Rising, me and Alejandra Bistrion. We air every Saturday night, 8 p.m. Eastern time. And you can find that on His Glory TV.
Is it hisglory.tv or is it
hisglorytv.me?
Oh, you should have used the .tv.
Yeah.
I think if you type in His Glory TV in Google,
if you Google it,
use DuckDuckGo. Use DuckDuckGo. Go to His Glory TV, DuckDuckGo, and it'll come up. Yes. You'll find it there.
Yeah. I don't know for some.
We'll get a link for it. Then that way we'll make sure and post that so that people can make sure and find that.
Because there's two different HisGlory.me is the website.
Oh. Hold on. I'm typing it. There it is. It is funny.
It doesn't actually have the .com on it. It's just His Glory.
His Glory .me. There
you go. Yes. So that's every Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern Central, Eastern Time. And if you miss it, it's up there.
All right. I'm putting it in the comments.
And after a week, it will also be on my YouTube channel, Resurrect Ministry.
Yep. It looks like it's successful. Sometimes these links don't go through, but it looks like they went through each one of the things. If you're watching on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, or YouTube, just look down in the comments and you'll see His Glory .me. Click on that and you'll find the website and bookmark it so that you can stay tuned. And there's other good shows on there too. Yes. Hedia is the best on the TV.
Wow, thank you.
And then you have everybody else. All right, anything else, my love?
I think that's it.
We hope you have a great day. I was trying to think if it was a weekend or not. We're on Thursday only.
We're only on Thursday.
It might be, if it's trash day, make sure and take out your trash cans.
And that's really are important. We showing our Edify app?
Oh, yes.
Commercial?
Thank
yes.
You.
We're now on the Edify podcast network. So we encourage you to download the podcast, click subscribe there so we can encourage and increase their viewership. They have some really awesome content in addition to ours. We are the first devotional on there. And we are
good to be the first.
Yes. And we're in this amazing company with some rock star celebrity pastors. So please go and check it out. Edify.app.
Here, I'll show you. Here, this is how you find it.
There it is.
This podcast is part of the Edify Podcast Network. Edify is a faith-inspiring app that brings together thousands of the best Christian podcasts in one place for your listening enjoyment. Cut through the noise and grow your faith by diving into the world's top Christian podcast today. Download the Edify app for free from the App Store or Google Play, or by going to edify.app. That's edifi.app. edifi.app.
Something just came to mind.
What?
My son is in the digital media class, and he has a project where he has to do, you know, something. And you have a choice. And one of them is a voiceover.
Oh, nice.
And I said, I just got done doing a voiceover. And I said, I'll send it to you. And maybe it'll give you some ideas. So I sent it to him. And he goes, oh, Dad, that's some good flexing right there. Meaning that I showed him something that I was showing
nice. Okay. I was like, sorry, I didn't understand the reflexing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You didn't understand. What was the other one the other day about getting swole?
Yeah. Didn't get that either.
There's so many words these kids today are using.
Right? And their dads.
It's that you're showing off.
Mm.
And I and what made me laugh when that was going on is because of what you said earlier about some people, whether it was about egos or something like that. And I said, wow, you have an ego. Anyway, it was earlier in the show. If never mind. All right, my friends, we love you guys.
Sorry, I'm slow on the uptake sometimes. I overthink things. Paralysis through analysis.
Oh my gosh. You know, one last thing. I know I said last thing just a second ago.
Can you want to just let people go?
No, but I just want to tell you how when we do the prep now, and I love you. You put together, she put together a new routine of prepping, which is start with prayer.
Yes.
Read the scripture first and then read the devotional. I was doing it the other way around. And it's so much better this way.
Oh, I'm glad.
Mainly because I get all my crying out before we go live. Mostly, not always, but mostly.
Do you feel more inspired when once we hit live that you've thought about some of these issues, right?
Yes. It's just men. I want to encourage you
to allow
yourself to get into the scripture and get into it and allow yourself to have emotion, allow yourself to cry. And especially when you think about where God has brought you, especially if God has brought you out of hell and a past that you don't necessarily want to regret, because I think what God says in the Bible quite often is that have joy in your adversities. And I think that also means that, you know what, you've had your past, you had your flesh, you had the things that you did in the past. Instead of looking at them and beating yourself up about them, figure out how you can use them for the power of God and for the love of God.
We overcome with the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony.
So I just wanted to give you
props.
Those props that it's good. And it has allowed me to get the crying out of the way in most cases.
Well,
we got the tissue box because it was pretty, pretty significant.
Oh, well, I'd like to give you some props too, it's really awesome to watch Andy. I don't know, just to dive into your relationship with the Lord, because it's clear you have the issues of what is what parts of the fleshly kind of masculinity you have to hold on to. What are you're really developing and fine-tuning what it means to be a Christ-centered man.
Hmm.
And I love watching that because it's this balance between personal strength, you know what I mean? Physical strength, emotional strength, kindness, compassion. Folks, it is not easy to be a Christian man, because when you really are seeking to follow that example, it's so complex. And I just want to congratulate you and commend you for doing this amazing job. Manifesting that, like, we're so,
I don't even know what to say.
We're so grateful to be your family.
Wow.
Yes.
Thank you.
Me and my daughter and your kids.
Thank you. Well, I have nothing after that. I'm not going to ruin that moment.
Okay.
I love you guys. Thanks for watching. I love you.
I love you too.
All right.
We love you. God bless.
Take care.